This is HPR episode 2719 entitled Bash Tips 17 and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 34 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Arrays in Bash, Part 2, this time it's personal.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris. Welcome to Hacker Public Radio. So I'm doing another show in the Bash Tips series. This is the 17th in this whole sub-series. And this one is continuing stuff about arrays in Bash, which are really rather good, I think. Nice to have arrays in a scripting language like this. So in the last show we saw the two types of arrays and learned about how you can create them in a whole variety of ways. And we saw a little bit about how you can populate them. We also looked at how you can access array elements and entire arrays. So I want to continue on that theme, looking at array access and some of the hints and tips about doing that and how you can then manipulate the contents of arrays using parameter expansion operations, which I'll talk about in a short while. The first topic is to talk about how you can actually use negative indices with indexed arrays. We only looked at positive numbers, and of course the asterisk and the at sign as subscripts in the last episode. So it's also possible to use negative numbers. And what they do is to index relative to the end of the array. So the index minus one means the last element, minus two, the one before that, or the penultimate, if you like, and so on and so forth. So rather than going to a lengthy explanation here, I wrote a little demo script to show what you can do with it. Nothing very exciting, but just a I don't know about you, but I quite like to see worked examples, especially if there's a bit of an explanation about what they're doing. So I thought I would just add that one to here. And it's downloadable if you want to grab it and play with it. It's called bash17_ex1.sh. And what it does is it fills an indexed array with numbers. But just for a bit of fun, I thought I would use the Fibonacci sequence to populate them. And that's actually quite a simple sequence, which as a one-time biologist, something that we had drummed into us because it's used a lot in the world of nature, things like plant growth and all manner of things, the spiral of a snail shell, etc. Anyway, the script starts by declaring and then seeding an indexed array, which I called fib. And it puts in there the numbers 0, 1, and 1, which is the start of the Fibonacci series. Then there's a for loop, which starts with an index of 3 and goes up to the index of 20, which in each iteration, in creating a specific element, it adds the previous two. Now, one of the things that I did was the addition is being done in an arithmetic expansion, which we've covered many, many times, but it's possible, in fact, it's recommended that if you refer to variables in such an expression, you omit the dollar signs and you don't need the curly brackets around the array references, array element references and so forth. So it actually looks a lot cleaner. I wish Bash as a whole was able to use that format. So having populated the array, simply printed out with the message Fibonacci series and then the whole contents of the array, which is it's listed in the notes. Then the final thing that the script does is to build a for loop which starts from minus 1 and goes to minus 4. And for each of these numbers, it prints out the relevant indexed element of the array fib. So you'll see that it's just the last four elements off the end of the array. I printed out the whole array, as you can see in the notes, and this is just going backwards down the array. So second thing I wanted to talk about was how you take two arrays and concatenate them. Now, it's possible to concatenate arrays of both types, though my example here only uses an indexed array. Looking at it now, I think maybe I should have done an example using an associative array, but I didn't do that. So maybe leave that as an exercise for the listener, reader, whatever. But it's a syntax that you have to use to do this, which is maybe not immediately obvious. What it consists of is the case I've got here. I've got an array which I've called array one. I'm setting, this is just a generic example. I'm setting it to one of these compound expressions, which is an equals followed by an open parenthesis, then some stuff in the parentheses. And in the parentheses, I've got, in quotes, dollar array two, and then in square brackets, an at sign enclosed in curly brackets. And then follow that with another one, in quotes, an array three. So it's using the at sign because it's going to return the entirety of the array, and it's going to do it as individual items, individual words, as the terminology has it. So what will that actually do is it will effectively fill the parentheses with the contents of array two and then the contents of array three in sequence, and that will be the what's actually placed in array one. And you can also append to an array another array in a similar sort of way. So array one plus equals open parenthesis, and then one of those sorts of expressions in double quotes would do it. So again, I've made an example to demonstrate this, and this is bash 17ex2.sh, and in it I declare three indexed arrays which I called a1, a2, a3. Now I'm going to put random numbers in these, and in order to do that, I'm using a bash feature, which is really a variable. You could regard it as a function, I suppose. But it's a variable called random in capital letters. And in order to get, it's a pseudo number, random number generator. In order to seed it, so you get different sequences each time, you need to set it to a different number each time. What I've done is to set it to the current date expressed in milliseconds. I think that's the millisecond part of the current date and time. So that's date plus percent capital N. You'll see that in the script. Then there's a loop which simply goes around 10 times, setting a variable I from 1 to 10. And the two statements in the for loop are setting A1 and A2 to the result of an expression. The expression is in, this is an arithmetic expression with the dollar and two open parentheses. And in it, we've got random percent 100. That's that variable random, which you don't put a dollar in front of because it's inside an arithmetic expression. That's in brackets, it's in parentheses, I should say. And you then add one to the result of it. So what we're doing is we're asking for random number, and the numbers come back between 0 and 32767. That's what random does. We then use the mod operation, which is percent, which we talked about in an earlier show. And so that forces it to be a number between 0 and 100. Since we don't actually want 0, in this case anyway, I have added 1 to it. But I put it in parentheses because the plus 1, I'm not sure that's necessary. I think the priority of the modulo operator is higher than the plus. Anyway, it looks cleaner. So that will just fill these two arrays with a bunch of random numbers. Then I simply echo them A1 colon and then the contents of A1. And the way I do it is dollar open curly bracket A1 square bracket asterisk close square bracket close curly bracket close quote, and the same for A2. The reason I use the asterisk version is because that's the one that concatenates all of the the individual elements of the array into a string. So putting that inside a string, substituting in a string is going to be the best way to work. Otherwise you get individual words, which I think can cause problems. I'm not quite clear what the problems are, to be honest with you. I get nagged by the shell check thing that I use to check my scripts, and it says don't do that. So to be honest, I haven't really gone to find out why. The next step is to take these two arrays, which are populated with stuff, and concatenate them together into the array A3. So we've got that sort of expression, which is A3 equals open parentheses, then in double quotes, dollar, open curly bracket, A1, open square bracket, at sign, close square bracket, close curly bracket, close quotes. And that will result in all of the 10 elements of A1 being listed as 10 different words. The same then for A2. And we simply echo it out to show what happened. And when you look at the output, which follows this in the notes, then we see A1 gets some numbers, A2 gets some numbers, and A3 gets A1's numbers and A2's numbers. So just to prove that that's the way it works. Not shatteringly interesting, but maybe it will be useful to something to refer to in the future. Now I want to talk about parameter expansion stuff. Back in episode 1648, which was way back in 2014, and it was the first of these bash tips, so it wasn't actually called bash tips, I described most of the bash parameter expansion operations that are available. And I did mention their use in arrays in passing, but I didn't go into great detail. I want to visit them again now, the ones which are specifically useful in the context of arrays, and maybe talk a little bit more about what they can do. So that it's going to result in a moderate number of things to look at. So this show is going to be followed by another one, which will tie the whole thing up, I think. So let's look first at what was called substring expansion. I think I gave them these names. They don't really have proper names in the documentation, which is slightly frustrating, I find. Anyway, the substring stuff can perform two different functions. It can select substrings from strings, so pieces of strings from wherever inside a string, but it can also subset an array by picking out individual elements, multiple elements at a time. So the general syntax is dollar, open curly bracket, and the name of the parameter, and a colon and an offset, or the offset can be followed by a colon and a length. Offset and length, both numbers, of course. So yeah, in the notes it says the offset and the length are arithmetic expressions, and they can be negative in some cases, which means to count backwards from the end of the string, or indeed from the end of an indexed array. A negative offset, because if you didn't put a space after the colon, this would cause bash to confuse what you were typing with another one of the expressions that it offers. You have to put a space, so it has to be colon space minus number. So that's a slightly unpleasant thing, but that's the way it is. You can only use a negative length when you're working with strings, not with arrays. And if you don't have a length at all, then what's meant is that everything from the offset to the end of the string or the array is to be returned. So that's a quick summary of what these things do. We'll just look at a few examples. So what I've got here is an example which isn't a downloadable one this time, it's just one in the text, in which I work on on individual array elements as strings. So I declare an indexed array which I'm calling planets, and it's being set to the planets Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus and Neptune. And then the expression echo in double quotes, dollar, open curly bracket, planets, square brackets, 4. So that's the fourth element, which is Jupiter. Then colon 2, colon 3, close curly bracket, close double quotes. That will pick out the middle letters of the the word Jupiter. So it's starting at letter 2, and these are zero relative. They begin with zero. So J is 0, U is 1, P is 2, and then the 3 means do 3 letters. So the answer comes back Pit. We do the same with planets 5, which is Saturn, and this time we want to use a negative offset. So that has to be a colon after the array element spec, space, minus 3, colon 2. So what that means is take the last 3 letters of Saturn, which is URN, and return the first 2 letters of that, so you get back UR. The last one is just to hammer this point home. It's the same as the last one, except there's no colon 2 on the end. So that just returns the last 3 letters of Saturn. So if you use this with the entirety of an indexed array, using a subscript of the at sign or an asterisk, then it will extract individual array elements, or numbers of array elements. So if we echo planets with an at sign in the square brackets, colon 1, colon 3, that means go to element 1 and return 3 from there. So we get back Venus, Earth, and Mars. If we do the same thing but use the offset of minus 3, which has to have a space in front of it, as you remember, and two elements from there, then minus 3 goes backwards to Saturn, backwards down the array from the end, and then display 2 elements. So we get back Saturn and Uranus. And then this is just a copy of the same arguments as the previous example, except applied to an array. And then if we simply put an offset of minus 3 and no length, then we get back Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, the last 3 planets in the list. Can't use negative lengths when you're dealing with arrays. But I didn't put a negative length example. Sorry about that. Now, one of the questions that popped into my mind was, could you do this stuff with associative arrays? I mean, what is the third element or whatever of an associative array? Because they're defined as not having an order to the elements. I mean, maybe they do have an order on the particular machine that you're using, or on the particular operating system, or something like that. But between systems, they might not be the same at all. They might be different on separate days. I don't know what factors determine them. But I went off into experimenting with this to see whether I could actually do it. And I created 2 examples, which are called Bash17EX3 and EX4, where I actually did this, and it works. But what I've done is I put a note in front of this, marked off this section of the notes, put a little note in the front saying, you might want to skip this, since it's a non-documented feature which you should not use in production. So I'm going to skim over it fairly quickly, because perhaps shouldn't have even gone there. But it seemed interesting to me. I'm not sure how you would ever implement this in a reliable and sensible way. But maybe the scripts are interesting in their own right. So I'll zoom through the first one and leave the other one for you to look at if you're interested. This is another case of making a couple of indexed arrays. This time I put 10 letters into them. And I do it by a command substitution inside the parentheses, which consists of an echo followed by one of those curly bracket brace expansions that we looked at way back in this series. The first one returns A to J letters, and the second one K to T. So you've got 2 arrays which contain those series of 10 letters. Then we declare an associative array, which I've called hash, and in it I place the elements of the 2 indexed arrays. So the first indexed array, A1, is used as the keys to the associative array, and the second one is used as the values within it. So you'll see a rather complicated looking assignment where they're being set. I won't read it out letter by letter. So if I then run a loop which goes through the array, the hash, that is, the associative array, prints out what's in each element, just so you have some sort of confirmation of what it is. And it's a loop which prints out for each element the name of the array and the subscript that we're using, the key, and the second element is the contents. So hopefully that's a useful way of being able to view it. In order to do this, I use an expression which consists of, in double quote, dollar, open curly bracket, exclamation mark, hash, square bracket, open square bracket, at sign, close square bracket, close curly bracket, close quotes. Now this is something I'm just going to talk about in a few minutes. What that does is return a list of the subscripts for an associative array. So it's being used as the expression in a for loop, and a variable key is being set to each element, and you get back a list of words, which is the thing that for loops like, unless they're the numeric type. And finally, in the script, print out the values from the hash. But what I've done here is I've got a variable I, which is being set to 1 in the for loop, and it goes up to value 10, but it's doing it in steps of 2. So I want to, first of all, display the contents of I, and then want to echo the contents of hash using the asterisk subscript, and the offset will be $1, so it'll start with 1, but I want it to give me back 2 elements. So when this is run, you get back, for I equals to 1, you get back K and L. So it's actually printing out the first two, well, whatever the first, how can you say first two in a thing that's not in any specific order, except that it apparently is. But you get back K and L for 1, M and N for 3, O and P for 5, etc. Not quite sure why that is so, but I think, other than a curiosity, it's something that we should walk away from, probably. So moving on from that, let's just talk briefly about the thing that lists the keys of an associative array, also called indices or subscripts, depending on the different context that I use it in and various other people do. So that consists of either dollar, open curly bracket, exclamation mark, name of array, open square bracket, and an at sign, close square bracket, close curly bracket, or you use an asterisk in the same case. And it expands to the list of array indices or keys which are part of that associative array. When you use an at sign, you get, and it's in double quotes, then you get a list of separate words. Otherwise, it's just a string containing all of these particular keys. I use this, as we saw in bash17_ex3, and for the record, in ex4 as well. ex4 I didn't really talk about, but that contains a slightly more complex version of ex3, using randomly chosen words instead of sequential letters, just in case there was something about the sequential letters that made it work in ex3, but it works as well in ex4. So that's really all there is to say about the key list of keys. It's a very useful feature. Next, we're looking at the length of a string or an array. We saw this in show 1648 before. Probably not a huge lot to say about it, actually. The main thing to say is that you use dollar, open curly bracket, and then a hash mark and the name of the variable. If it's just a plain variable, then you just close the curly bracket at that point. But if it was an array, then you would put the name of the array, and then you'd put in square brackets either an at sign or an asterisk. So when it's a simple variable, and you get the length of the string. So I've got a simple example where I set a variable which I call veggie to the string kohlrabi, and it prints echo one of those expressions, and the answer comes back 8. It's 8 characters long. When you use an array with an index of an asterisk or an at, then it returns the number of elements in the array. And there's an example here where it sets an array called veggies to 3 vegetables, celeriac, artichoke, and asparagus. I was obviously cooking around the time I was thinking of this. And it comes back with the answer 3. That's how many there are. And I did the thing where I used the name of the array instead of an indexed version of the array. And remember, we looked at this in the last episode, where Bash interprets that as having an index of zero. So when we ask for the name of the contents, we get back the first element, celeriac, from the array. And when we ask for its length, we get back the length of that particular string, which is 8. That's weird, but just thought again that you should know about it so you don't do it by mistake and wonder how you got an answer where you would have expected it to blow up. So the last one of these parameter substitution thingies is, well, really I bundled two together here, but it's where you can remove leading or trailing parts of a string, or indeed of, we'll come on to the array context in a minute. You can do that in a simple variable, let's say. And what it consists of is, the syntax is dollar open curly bracket and the name of the variable, or indeed an array, but we'll come to that, followed by a hash mark, and what's noted here is just word. Word is a glob or ext glob pattern, if you've got ext glob enabled, and that's used to perform an operation on the variable. It's hard to talk about this in a generic way because you really need to drill down. But the other version of it uses two hash marks. We'll talk about why and what the relevance of this is. So the hash version removes leading characters that match the glob pattern, the word. Then we come on to what's effectively equivalent to the last two, but it uses a percent sign instead. And this is for trimming things off the end. It matches stuff with the glob or x glob pattern, and it will do percent. The single percent means, or the single hash means, do the shortest match. The double hash and the double percent means the longest match. Once you get onto some examples, hopefully you will see how this is done. So I've written a script, EX5, in this particular series, which demonstrates this. And it just builds an array and fiddles around with it in various ways to give you some idea of the results. So I obviously had root vegetables on my mind when I was doing this, so I declare an indexed array called vidges, which is set to a list of root vegetables, which I will read for you. Celeriac, artichoke, asparagus, parsnip, mangel wurzel, daikon, and turnip. And the script prints out the contents of this array, so you've got something to refer to. The first trimming exercise we do is removing the first character. So that consists of an expression which is dollar, open curly brackets, this is in double quotes, VEGS, open square bracket, at, close square bracket. So that's the whole array, hash, question mark. So that word will match each of the elements of the array, and we'll remove the question mark is a any character. So the any character will be the first one on each word, and it will just remove that. So when we run it, we get back, instead of celeriac, iliriac, rutichoke, and so on. I won't read these out because they're a bit silly. So second example, we're removing characters up to and including the first vowel. How do you do that? Well, you use dollar, in double quotes again, dollar, open, curly bracket, V-E-G-S, veggies. Why don't I choose things you can actually pronounce? I don't know. In square brackets, an at sign, hash, asterisk. Then in square brackets, A-E-I-O-U, close square brackets, close curly brackets, close quotes. So you will recognize that as a glob pattern, which says match anything you like up to and including a vowel. So when you look at the output for that one, you see that each example, if you're not looking at the script itself just now, the output prints out the thing that it's doing, but it doesn't print out the expression, which is why I'm reading them out to you. The first one, it takes celeriac, which is spelt C-E-L, and it removes the C and the E because the E is a vowel, and it prints out leriac, and then artichoke begins with an A, so it prints out richichoke. Asparagus begins with an A, so it prints out asparagus, and so on and so forth. Third one, we are removing characters up to and including the last vowel. So in this case, the expression is the same as before, except that we've got two hashes in front of it. So it will keep going until they're all processed. So in this case, it reduces celeriac to just to the last C. It reduces artichoke to nothing at all, and it reduces asparagus to an S, the last S. And I used print F here, and it puts square brackets around each thing that it prints. That was just so you could see that there was a blank returned when there was a blank return, and the string was removed to nothing. Fourth example is using extglob, and I set it on explicitly in the script. Remember, we did this some while back. SHOPT space hyphen S space extglob. This time we are echoing this array with a hash sign after its name. We're using an at sign as the index. And then the expression we're using is an at followed by in parentheses CELE vertical bar ARTI vertical bar ASPA vertical bar and MANGEL close parenthesis close curly bracket close quotes. So you remember that at thing with a parenthesized list after it is a list of all of the prefixes in a list of words or file names or whatever which you want to match. We've talked about all this stuff in the recent past. So what this does is it removes each of these things from the relevant word. So it takes celeriac and that matches CELE, which is then removed, and you end up with RIAC. And artichoke gets RT removed and it turns into choke and so on. But it doesn't match some of the words which are just left alone. Parsnip is not touched, daikon and turnip don't get touched. Okay, fifth example is like the first one actually, but this time we're using the percent sign and we're removing the last character. So we've got in the curly brackets after the dollar, VEGS, open square bracket, at sign, close square bracket, percent, question mark. So that matches the last character, whatever it is, from each word. And you get back, this is example five, you get celeriac turns into celeria, and so on. Sixth example, we remove from the last vowel to the end. So the expression here is the name of the array with an at sign, percent, then we've got in square brackets A, E, I, O, U, the vowels, and an asterisk. So we're looking for the last vowel. Yeah, because we're looking at the end of the string and to the end of the thing. When you look at example six in the printout, then celeriac is reduced to celeri. So the AC on the end is removed. And artichoke has the final E removed. Asparagus has the US on the end. So the last vowel plus anything that follows it to the right. And I went for removing from the first vowel to the end. That's where I got confused. And this one uses the name of the array with an at sign. We've got double percent. And then in square brackets, A, E, I, O, U, close square bracket, asterisk. So that one will match the first vowel that it finds in the word because it's looking backwards up the word and repeating until it runs out of things to match. So the first thing it will match will be the first vowel, and then it will strip out everything after it. So celeriac is left with just the first C, and artichoke and asparagus begin with vowels, so there's nothing left, and so on and so forth. And the last example, eight, is using the extglob pattern to remove several different trailing patterns. So I just put some trailing parts of these words. So IAC, OKE, GUS, NIP, ZEL. So celeriac becomes celer. Artichoke, because we're matching OKE, gets turned to aspara. Parsnip gets turned to pars. So there's a nip in this list. So hopefully that is a bit tedious, but it gives you some idea of what you can do with this if you wish. If you happen to have an array and you want to do stuff to it. That's really all there is to say. So that's it. That's I think we've had enough of this just now. I mean, there's a few more of these, not very many left. There's one or two more of these parameter substitution things to do in the next episode, and then I want to go on to some of the commands you can use to do cool stuff with arrays, and that'll be it. Thanks very much for listening. Hope you found it useful. Bye bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.